Welcome to WW Perspectives. We're here today with Dr. Stephanie Hull, who is Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of the Woodrow Wilson National Fellowship Foundation. And we're going to talk about the Woodrow Wilson History Quest Fellowship. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about what the History Quest Fellowship is.
The History Quest Fellowship was first brought to us by two of our trustees who together were thinking about the way civics was taught in this country, and they are concerned that students are less engaged with civics and with participation in the democracy because they are not being taught history in ways that are personally engaging to them. So they came to us with an idea, which we've developed into this fellowship, and the idea really that they came with was that we would find ways to make the teaching of history more lively, more relevant, more current for young people. We started to work with the Institute of Play, which is a team in New York City that run a school called Quest to Learn School. Institute of Play is on the forefront, really, of games and game-based education. And together we've developed a fellowship for New Jersey public school teachers in the middle and high school grades. You have to be nominated by the principal or the superintendent of the school system, and we are asking schools to send people in teams of two at least. There's a week of intensive work in the summer in July of 2016, and then throughout the year there are additional opportunities for those teachers to engage with each other, to work on games together, to critique other people's games, and to go to professional meetings, which will happen on two different days in New York City. While they're in the fellowship program during that week, they will first learn about the philosophy of teaching with games and with games-based education, and next work to develop games themselves and learn how to adapt curriculum to games and assessments to games as well.
So tell us a little bit more about this focus on games in the classroom. And I wonder what's new about it. I mean, I think most of us can remember moments in the classroom when we might have played history bingo or something and gotten prizes or points. So what's new and different about approaching history in this way?
These games are a different kind of game. There is not necessarily, in fact, not often a sense of winners and losers. These are not always board games, and certainly they are not video games. These are games that are learning experiences that immerse a student in a situation. So, for example, there's a game that they play at the Institute of Play called Wealth. And in this game, one of the players is in charge of a system, a political system, a kingdom, so to speak, and is in charge of the distribution of wealth, and other players determine what to do with that wealth. The king, the player with the wealth, distributes money to different people in the classroom, and then it's the player's turn to make certain decisions. They can decide to pay taxes, which sends money back to that player who was controlling the wealth. They can decide to withhold their taxes. They can decide to revolt against the leadership. And all of those decisions are really determined by the way in which the distributor of wealth distributes the wealth. So if that person chose to give all the money to his best friend in the classroom, the rest of the players might have a revolution. If he chose to give it out equitably, there might not be enough to go around equitably, or somebody might get two and somebody else gets one, and that causes people to think different ways about revolution and revolting. So ultimately, what students learn when they play these games is that every move that is made in a historical situation changes the outcome of history. That they see themselves as players potentially in history, and they also see how individual people are actors in history. History then is not just this collection of dates or names of great men, but it is based on the way that people interacted, the way that decisions were made, the way that actions affected outcomes. And it's hoped that students who learn history that way will be able to think more broadly about history as opposed to memorizing certain dates and actions. So history bingo might be getting a correct memorized answer and repeating it on command. The kinds of games that Institute of Play is fostering and the games that the teachers in our seminar will learn are more about situating yourself in history, about thinking about how an individual's actions, even a young person's actions, might have changed the path of history. Thinking about what it might be like to be a middle schooler in the Revolution, thinking about what it might have been like to be a high school student at the time of the Civil War. It's that kind of game, role-playing games and decision-making games, as opposed to games with winners and losers.
Mm. You said that this isn't actually about video games, or that video games aren't involved. This is a generation, though, that's very accustomed to video games. So what makes these games compelling for students who are used to sitting in front of a screen and manipulating a controller and playing video games?
I think, in fact, the ability to see your actions as affecting the outcome is what makes it compelling. I think getting up and moving around the classroom is always interesting for young people, and I think that, although I would say that a video game holds your attention, it holds your attention in a different way. There's a limit to how much attention you can focus on one screen, whereas if all the people in the class can play at the same time, it's much more interactive in a way. And I've seen in action at the Institute of Play and at the Quest to Learn School the way in which that compels everybody to take part in the game, to pay attention to what decisions are being made, to think about how those decisions might limit their decision-making power or give them more decision-making power, and how that would therefore change the outcome of what's being played. So when a game like Wealth is played and people are king, and people are subjects to the king, you'll get kids who will start to think, okay, I need to form an alliance, either with the king to get more wealth or with the other players in the room to organize the revolt so that the revolt is successful and the game changes. You see that attitude of play that kids have come out in a different way when the game is fully interactive with humans in real time. And it is true that you can hold their attention with video games, but it's a different kind of focus, I think. And I've seen this kind of gaming succeed in that it really engages people quite physically in seeing an outcome to the end.
It also sounds like, if I'm following you, it's not just the teachers designing the games, but the students learning that they can modify the games and make some different choices.
It's true. So teachers do design the initial game, but I think once they get skilled at using games, and that's something that we hope that will happen over the course of the year, they will be able to set out a game with a couple of really simple rules just to get the game played, but then to go to a second round of the game based on the way the game was played by the students and say, this was an interesting twist, so now this is a rule, now this is a limitation, now this is a freedom that you have in the game, and to let that play out and to be able to talk about in history how a particular actor in history might have made an outcome like that possible. So by a person's actions, by an individual's actions or a group's actions, rules change in real life as well. And moving along through the game is moving through life, acting on what changes when people impulsively change the outcome. I think it's true that students, kids help design the games as they go along. I also think that teachers will learn to think about games in increasingly different ways. They'll start with a few templates of games, basic ways of structuring a game just to get the ball rolling. But the more the students engage, the more the game is interesting.
So what do you hope will come out of this program?
The idea of working with New Jersey public school teachers is that the teams that we bring will take this work back to their schools, certainly. We hope that it will also work toward the districts. At the district level, the teachers will maybe set up seminars or evening engagements so that they can share it more broadly beyond their individual school. I think it will also be a welcome opportunity for teachers, especially teachers of history, to get professional development. What we're hearing as we promote the program is that it's very rare for opportunities like this to be offered to teachers in the humanities and social sciences in particular. And although there's a lot being talked about in terms of civic education, there really isn't as much in the way of professional development that's being offered. So this is proven to be quite refreshing to people, and there's a strong response so far.
Terrific. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today about History Quest. Application information is on the Woodrow Wilson website right now, I understand it.
Yes, it is.
And so we hope that some of the listeners will take a look.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
Thank you.